Well, welcome to the second week of our new series called Mind Matters. In this series, we're exploring how to turn fixed, negative, unproductive attitudes into new ways of thinking that will actually feed our faith and nurture our souls. Our minds are powerful tools. They foster creativity, provide new insights and techniques, solve problems, help us to achieve our goals, but they can also be turned into weapons by the enemy, filling us with lies and half-truths about ourselves, stealing our joy and hope, and keeping us from thriving and becoming everything God created us to be. When that happens, when the enemy turns our minds against us, it can be a true problem in our lives. But what we said last week that you have to do to overcome a defeatist mentality is you have to have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. The scripture says we must have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. And so when you change your thinking, take on the mind of Christ, it frees your own mind from the snares of the enemy. Last week we talked about overcoming a defeatist mentality, this attitude that assumes the worst in everything, that believes that every project will fail, every challenge is too much, every effort is not worth the effort, every effort is a waste of time. But as we said, what we have to do to overcome that defeatist mentality is to first identify the lie in our mind. Then we have to root it out and replace it with something positive from the Word of God. And the more you think about God's truth, meditate on what He says about you, make that your reality, the more you will create new pathways in your mind that will lead to life, victory, and peace, and a winning mindset. Today, I want to talk with you about another positive transformation of the mind. I want to talk with you today about an authentic mindset. It's easy to go through life pretending we've got it all together, know all the answers, have everything figured out. We put on these masks to keep up our image, project confidence, and convince others that we're on top of things, we're in control, ready for anything that comes our way. When I was a young lawyer, one of the first things I learned from more experienced lawyers is never apologize for anything. Never admit a weakness in your case. Never let them see you sweat. I still remember the first time I took a deposition all on my own. I was so nervous flying solo, my stomach was churning, my heart was pounding, my mouth had gone completely dry, but I was expected to appear calm, cool, and collected on the outside. The problem is, when we're not authentic, not being our true selves, we can end up hiding our struggles, our weaknesses, and our fears from God and from other people. It's not healthy, and it can keep us from reaching new levels of happiness and fulfillment. The masks that we wear to keep up appearances can actually hold us back and short-circuit our progress towards our destiny. If you're never willing to admit your shortcomings, your problems, those qualities you're not proud of, you won't grow. But when you're vulnerable before God and other people, strong enough to admit that you need help, that's when you allow God to go to work. Scripture says, "When I am weak, then I am strong in the Lord." One of the most powerful things you can do is to get real, be genuine, and tell God and others the truth about what you're going through, what you need, and how they can help you. It can be such a relief when you can finally be honest. You'll see much more growth and success in your life when you take on an authentic mindset. Don't get me wrong. There is nothing wrong with carrying yourself with confidence, celebrating your successes, the good things you've achieved. That's just another form of honesty. You scored well on the test. You made an A in the class. You were promoted at work. You nailed the performance. It's okay to pat yourself on the back. God is applauding for you too. In today's second reading, the Apostle Paul was sitting in a Roman prison. He was coming to the end of his life, and he was writing the final chapter of a letter to his young protege, Timothy. And in that letter, he said, "I have competed well. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." Despite everything that had come against Paul, all the attacks, the arrests, the persecutions, the conflict and dissension in his own communities, the gossip, the sleepless nights, the long travel, Paul was honest about his accomplishments. He had remained faithful. He knew a crown of righteousness awaited him in heaven. But he also admitted that people had walked away from him. He wasn't ashamed of the failures, the embarrassments, the rejection he had suffered. In Philippians, he even wrote this. He said, "I have not yet attained perfect spiritual maturity." Imagine that. The man who wrote nearly half the New Testament, traveled 10,000 miles to preach the gospel, established 12 churches around the world, fostered the faith of countless people, a spiritual giant, a man still read and remembered today, had no problem telling everyone publicly that he didn't have it all together spiritually. At the end of his life, Paul could have tried to impress people, cover up his mistakes, leave a whitewashed legacy, make it all seem so easy. But instead, Paul had an authentic mindset. He was open and honest. And because of that, he could say, "The Lord stood by me and gave me his strength." In the same way, when you're real with God about your and other people about your struggles, that's when God will also stand by you with his power and his strength. He's not looking for the fake you, the pretend you, the perfect you. He wants the real you, the authentic you, the lonely you, the sad you, the scared, frightened, and anxious you. He wants you to bare your soul, tell him everything, how you're worried about your family, struggling with an addiction, ashamed of your temper, sorry for the mistakes you've made, the people you've hurt. We all have areas we are working on, issues that we have to deal with, places that we have to grow within ourselves. But when we can be open and honest with God and vulnerable with other people, then you will reach your full potential. The gospel story today is a perfect example of that. Jesus told a parable and said, two people went up to the temple area to pray. One was a Pharisee and the other was a tax collector. Pharisees were a type of religious leader in that day. They were out among the people, not in the temple. They were out among the people. They traveled from village to village teaching the law of Moses. They wanted everyone to be just like them. Spiritually perfect, except they weren't. Jesus called them hypocrites because they taught one thing and did another. They did not practice what they preached. So when that Pharisee in the gospel reading took up his position like this and spoke this prayer to himself, did you catch that? To himself. "Oh God, I thank you that I'm not like the rest of humanity, dishonest, greedy, dishonest, adulterous, or even like this tax collector. I pay tithes on my whole income. I fast twice a week." When he said all that, it was easy to spot the lie. He was covering up. He was pretending. He was wearing a mask of religious perfection. He felt the need to keep up his image even in the temple. He was supposed to be a leader of the faith, someone who had all the answers, and so he felt he couldn't drop his guard even while he was praying to God. The tax collector, on the other hand, stood off at a distance, would not even raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast and said, "Oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner." He knew he was in the wrong, couldn't pretend otherwise. Back then, tax collectors, or being a tax collector, was considered a dishonorable profession. They worked for the Romans, they cheated their own people, they were hated by everyone. But at least the tax collector was honest. He didn't try to sweep things under the rug, spin the facts, minimize the wrong he had done. He was authentic before God, And everyone in the temple could see it because of his posture of prayer. That's why Jesus said, "I tell you, the tax collector went home justified, not the Pharisee. For everyone who exalts himself like the Pharisee will be humbled, and the one who humbles himself like the tax collector will be exalted." The tax collector was humble because he was honest about himself. He had a proper self-regard, understood where he was struggling, knew he needed God's help to be better. In today's first reading, Sirach says, "The prayer of the lowly pierces the clouds." That means when you drop the mask, come to God just as you are, weak, hurting, struggling, your prayers go straight to heaven. They're not going to bounce off the ceiling. They pierce the clouds. Because when you're real with God, God responds with real power. Now, of course, it's not easy to take off the mask. It can be painful to look honestly at ourselves, to admit the truth and that we're not perfect people. But here's something that might help. A friend of mine loves to buy old homes and remodel them. Some require a complete renovation. He says there are times when he has to, quote, take it down to the studs. That means he rips out the flooring, the ceiling, the sheetrock, the insulation, all the fixtures, everything except the wooden beams holding up the roof. That way he can look for hidden problems: water damage, termites, bad plumbing, defective wiring. He says it takes a lot of work, a lot of money, and a lot of time. But if the house has what he calls good bones, it's worth the effort. What am I saying? When you are able to take off the mask before God and other people, come clean, confess the truth about yourself, it's like you're taking your interior home, your soul, down to the studs. It's not easy. It takes time. But you have good bones. You are made in the image and likeness of God. You are a member of his royal family. You are a child of the Most High God. And so you are worth the effort. A friend of mine grew up going to Catholic schools. For the most part, she loved the experience. But there was one moment that marked her deeply. Her fourth grade teacher, Sister Ramona, a nun, was cold towards her, not very friendly, didn't seem to like her. That was surprising because all the other teachers liked my friend. She was a good girl, you know, obeyed the rules, went the extra mile, even stayed after school to help out. Well, one day, she was on the playground, it was recess, and she saw Sister Ramona holding the hand of another child. My friend took the opportunity to walk up and tried to take Sister Ramona's free hand, the other hand, but she jerked it away abruptly, pulled away from my friend, and with no explanation at all. We can imagine how a fourth grader would feel about that. It cut her to the core. She felt so embarrassed, so awkward, never forgot what happened. After that, she didn't even want to go back to school. But several years later, when she was in a Catholic high school, Sister Ramona came to visit with the other nuns. When my friend saw her old fourth grade teacher in the hall, she froze in her tracks. She paralyzed. Her heart started beating wildly. All the old memories came flooding back, and just as she was about to turn and walk away quickly, Sister Ramona came straight up to her and said, "I need to apologize. I made some mistakes. I'm sorry that I made your fourth grade so hard. I'm sorry that I made fourth grade so hard for you." Well, after that, my friend said it was like a 100-pound weight had been lifted off her shoulders. She stood taller, walked more lightly. It could not have been easy for her teacher to apologize. After all, she was an authority figure, a consecrated religious woman, someone who is supposed to be spiritually mature, have it all together. She could have been like that Pharisee, pretended that nothing was wrong, like she had never hurt my friend. But that nun's honesty, humility, and authenticity, it brought healing. Her willingness to admit her mistake released joy and peace back into my friend's soul. That's what happens when you are open and honest with God and vulnerable with other people. There is power in vulnerability, freedom in authenticity, joy and relief in coming out of the shadows and just speaking the truth about ourselves. You don't have to keep pretending, keep wearing the mask, keep acting like everything's perfect. God is drawn to authenticity. He's not interested in the polished version of you. He's moved by the real you. He responds to raw honesty and the cries of people who say, God, I can't do this by myself. I am broken and I need your help. When you humble yourself like that tax collector, admit your vulnerability to someone else, like that fourth grade teacher. When you dare to declare, like Paul, that you don't have it all together, you're still growing in certain areas, certain issues you're still dealing with. That's when God shows up with his power and strength. That's when he begins to heal, restore, and lift you up in ways you never imagined. Some of you may have been carrying around shame for years. Some of you maybe have acted like everything's fine, but inside you're tired, you're hurting, you're worn out. If that's you, God is saying today, you don't have to pretend anymore. Come as you are. Come as you are. You'll know freedom like never before, strength through your weakness, joy in your honesty, victory in your surrender. When you are open and honest with God, vulnerable with other people, and when you take on and truly live an authentic mindset.